in order for two separate parties, human or not, to be efficient and effective in how they deal with each other, something must be present. And there are a lot of mysteries that are aligned to spiritual things, one of which I want to touch today. I don't know if in its entirety I'll do it justice, but all things work together for good. Praise the Lord. Job chapter 1, from verse 6 to 7. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them." Verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it." Very common story. Now, the setting of this story is somewhere in the spirit realm. We know it is not at the throne room of God, because the book of Revelation gives us a setting of the throne room. There are lightnings, there is thunder, there are multitude of angels, there are elders, and so on and so forth. And Satan cannot stand in that kind of presence. Okay? So this is in a different realm altogether, where God is not king, he's judge. So it's a courtroom kind of setting. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that, go back to verse 6, just to make my point. It says, "There was a day when the sons of God," another version says, "heavenly beings, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came among them." And verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord." Now, there are a lot of things we could touch on this scripture, but I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. It's rhetorical, meaning you don't have to answer it, but you go back and think about it. If this is happening in the spirit realm somewhere, and there is no human being present, these are spirits, what language were they speaking? Okay. Are you with me? The devil, the sons of God, and God himself are interacting. And there is no human being present, so there is no language of men. Now, I'm setting us a foundation for something. What language were they speaking? When the Bible says in Job chapter 38, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy." In what language are they singing? If this is happening before the foundations of the earth, in what language are they singing? Job 28 and verse 22. Actually, start from verse 20. This is Job speaking. He says, "Whence then cometh wisdom?" Or where does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 21. "Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air." 22. "Destruction and death say." So these are spirits, and they speak. "We have heard the fame thereof with our ears." In what language are they speaking? Because if you go back in Revelation chapter 9 verse 11, it gives us a kind of setting. Actually, let's go there. It says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon." This is destruction. This is the spirit that he's referring to in Job. He says, "Death and destruction say." In what language are they speaking? Now, I want to throw it to you rhetorically so that you can go back and think. Because there are many theories that come up. But today I'm not up for theories. I want to use scripture. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. You see, there are many languages in the spirit world. Many. There are many languages in creation. There are classes of language. And for the sake of your clarity, and myself as a teacher, I'm going to try to break that down. Okay? There is a classification of language that the Bible refers to as the language of men. And I'll be dwelling on that today. The language of men, Paul refers to it in 1 Corinthians when he talks about the tongues of men. There's a classification above that referred to as the language of creation. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, actually let's read 1 to verse 4. Psalms 19, he says, "The heavens, they declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Next verse. It says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard." Verse 4. "Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world." So creation has a language. Men have a language. Creation has a language that it speaks. All right? Praise the living God. There is another classification above that. That is the language of spirits. Paul speaking in Corinthians says, there are tongues of angels. And if there are tongues of angels, it is safe to presume there are tongues of demons. Because they are. There are languages of spirits in the spirit world. Languages. Then the classification above that is the languages in God. Not of God. In God. Because in God there are languages. Now, I'm going to make this practical to you as we go on. Because it's important you understand those levels of classification. Okay? If we're to look at the language of men, and I asked you, at what point was it initiated? A lot of people would go back to Genesis chapter 11. But I beg to differ and take you further back to the Garden of Eden. Because in order for two beings to be able to communicate, a language must be present. And so the Bible says in the Garden of Eden that God would come down and commune with Adam. And for there to be some sort of communion, there must have been a language that was present. Yes? And then the Bible goes on to say that Adam is told to name the animals. And for that to take place, there must be a language present. Then scripture goes on to say that he names Eve. Eve. Now, Eve is in Hebrew. But it's also possible that the writer of Genesis was given a revelation of what the name actually meant. So it doesn't mean that in the garden they were speaking Hebrew. Okay, praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. Now, people come up with all, so they say, you know, in the Garden of Eden they were speaking Hebrew. Eh? Okay? Then the Bible says that there was discourse between man and a snake. So there must have been some sort of language that was present. Now, it's possible that all four are distinct different languages, but it's most likely they are all one divine language in which Adam had the capacity to communicate with God, communicate with creation, and communicate with his fellow man. In this case, Eve. Praise the Lord. There was a divine language that was bestowed within the confines of the Garden of Eden by which Adam could communicate. Now, are we at the same wavelength? When Adam fell, death not only fell upon man, the Bible says that all creation was subject to futility. So death affected all of creation, but death also affected the communication of man. So the language that man had in the Garden of Eden deteriorated after the fall. How do we know that? Because man was no longer capable of communicating with creation. Okay? Praise the Lord. And we know that there was a gradual breakdown of communion with God, even though God shows up to Cain and asks him, "What have you? Where is your brother?" There's a gradual breakdown, because in Genesis 4:26, the Bible says, "And in those days, men began to call unto God." So if they were beginning to call unto God, there was a breakdown in communion somewhere. Praise the living God. Eh? If I feel you're not on my way, maybe we'll just move on to something else. Eh? Okay? So there was a breakdown in that language. Man lost something, an ability to communicate in a particular way. Now, even though all men before Genesis 11 had the capacity to speak one language, because that's what it is, everyone was speaking one language, but it was a fallen, dead language. It was not the language that was there in the Garden of Eden. So, men began to grow. Their communication was one, until we reached Genesis chapter 11, where scripture thou says that even though there was a breakdown in the language in the fall, there's a second breakdown in the language in Genesis 11, where God now divides men. Praise the Lord. Eh? You know? So he divides men. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8 gives us an understanding as to why God, or the manner in which he dispersed people. He's talking to the people before he dies, and he says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years long past. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you." Verse 8. When the Most High apportioned the nations, when he divided humankind, he fixed the boundaries of the people according to the number of the gods. Now, what this scripture is saying is that it wasn't just random dividing in language. They had fallen away from God and they were worshipping different gods, and they were divided according to them in language. Hey, you with me? Okay? I will dwell on this some other time. Eh? Because other versions say something else. But this is an interesting breakdown. Now, from that point onwards, the farther you go away from Adam, the weaker language becomes. The closer and the older a language, the richer it is. English is a weak language. The more words that you need to express something, the weaker the language. Praise the Lord. Eh? A language is rich when one statement could mean multiple things. Praise the Lord. Eh? Okay? So the Hebrew language, the languages that are referred to as mystic languages, it's referred to as a mystic language because the Hebrew alphabet, the letters, don't just represent letters. They represent numbers and symbols. So someone could say a word and hide the meaning in the numbers of those letters. So A is 1, B is 2, and so on and so forth. In fact, there are people who read the Bible like that. It's called gematria, where they calculate. They don't read it the way you read it. Eh? Okay, so they've gone on a natural level. But mystical languages, the farther you go and the closer you get to Adam, the richer the language and the more power the language has. I'm going to show it to you in scripture. The more power it has. English is a relatively young language. About 1,400 years old. Okay? Relatively young. French, actually what we call, if you call French and English languages, they're actually not. they are dialects. They are breakdowns of an original language called Latin. And Latin is older because as you go further and closer to Adam, you find that the oldest languages are actually similar. Proof that there's actually an original one language. Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you all this. Eh? So, you have languages like Latin, Greek, Hebrew, that are quite old, older than English. Then you have languages like Aramaic that are even older than those ones. Okay? For the sake of clarification, the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew and Aramaic. Two books were written in Aramaic, the book of Daniel and Ezra. The others were written in Hebrew. It's an ancient language, and it's closer to Adam. Okay? Now, when spirits back then were interacting with men, they will embed themselves, and these are demonic spirits, some divine, would embed themselves with the culture of men back then. So a spirit would embed itself inside a culture of men. Now, some of you don't need to understand that languages give birth to cultures. It's not the other way around. First a language, then a culture. The more fluent you are in a language, the more well-versed you are with its culture. And this is, I'm talking about both in the natural and in the spirit. The more fluent you are with a language, the more vast you are with its culture. Okay? So these spirits would embed themselves inside certain cultures and attach themselves to certain languages. It's the reason why you will find that if a witch is conjuring up something, especially a prime witch, if you watch movies, they will use ancient language. Not come, come. Because English is weak. You don't even understand it. So they will use Latin or ancient Greek or what, because these spirits attach themselves to what is ancient, what was earlier. And so they use them to conjure up these particular things. I don't know if I'm making sense. Eh? The language that Adam spoke in the garden, theologically, is referred to as the Adamic language. No one knows what it was, and I don't want to theorize. All I know is that he had a capacity to speak to men, speak to God, and speak to creation with one. Now, and I've told you that there are powerful languages. The closer they are to Adam, and the farther you are, the weaker those languages are. All this is very, 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 very important for what I'm setting up. So those are what we call languages of men. Praise the living God. It does not mean that you need words. And it does not mean that in the garden, God had to necessarily speak to Adam in words. Because there are other ways to communicate other than words. Praise the living God, especially in the spirit world. Now, if you've understood that there is a language of men, then you'll understand the next level, the language of creation. Everything around us is speaking. Everything around us, when God created things, everything that was originally from God, he gave it a mouth and an ear. It's just because you think everything must have your mouth and your kind of ear. Everything has a mouth and an ear. I'll show it to you in scripture. Okay, he has given me one scripture here. It's a day and today utter speech. But everything has a mouth and an ear. Creation, first of all, has an ability to speak with itself. I read somewhere in Asia where there are monsoons and floods and so on and so forth. There are birds that stay near the water that people have decided to start observing. 5 months before there's any flood or monsoon, they'll build their nest. And if they build their nest near the water, there's no flood 5 months from then. If they build it far away from, there's a flood coming. Meanwhile, how does a bird's prophetic? Because it's called the spirit of prophecy. And as far as we know, animals don't have a spirit. So then how is the bird able to know? There is communication between wind, water, and bird. But man does not hear. Praise the Lord. Eh? Do you know that when someone is about to die, the veil between life and death becomes very thin, actually natural and physical, so thin. We have examples of it in scripture. When someone is about to die, the words that they speak become prophetic. That's why you see, for example, people like Miles Monroe, his last sermon, he's prophesying his own death. And consciously or unconsciously, as long as that line is thinned, a person becomes prophetic. That's why in those days, when a Jacob is about to die, he says, "Come, my children." The potency of the prophetic increases when that line is thinned. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so it falls upon, that prophetic falls upon men, and they begin to speak. And the things that they speak are not natural. They are not. Now, let me tell you something. When a person in a position that is vital, national or international, stands to give a speech, in the spirit world, divine or demonic, that is an opportunity to communicate. So, a person standing in a vital position, giving a speech, it cannot be just a speech. There will be two categories of people that are being communicated to. Those who listen in the natural and those who are listening from the spiritual. That's why some of the world's most famous speeches are just, some people are just quoting them. "I have a dream." There's that on the natural, but there's a prophetic that falls upon a person. And they will be speaking in the natural as well as in the spirit. I told you, when a person is in that kind of position, national, international, and the world's eyes under that person, don't think God won't utilize that opportunity. Or the devil. And from the demonic world, what most of them usually do is that a person can learn the art of hiding something in plain sight and give you a speech and touch their head, sweat, and they are communicating to a totally different audience, but you know not. Because there are men who have mastered the art of hiding things in plain sight. Plain sight. So there's language at that level. But creation speaks first of all to itself. Then there's a way it speaks to man, to you. Jesus said, if these people are to keep quiet, even the stones themselves will praise me. He's aware that there is an animated life in a stone. You just don't know its language. And often when I've looked at that scripture, many people think that if people had kept quiet, maybe the stones would shout. Yeah? But it's also possible that they could be shouting and look exactly the same. And you have no clue. The Bible says of Balaam that he's on this donkey, hits it 3 times because an angel appears. And scripture is unique because it says, and God opened the mouth of the donkey. It doesn't mean it hadn't been speaking. Praise the Lord. And scripture says that when Jesus was out at sea, he turned, it's specific, it says, and he rebuked the wind. It had ears, it can hear, it understands. Now, I've seen people trying to stop rain. Eh? Rain in the name of Jesus. Rain, stop. There is a language that creation speaks. Oh God, there's a language that creation speaks. In the next category, the Bible says, it gives us an example of the language of spirits, and it's what I started with, where angels and beings are interacting at a certain level. This world, when it was created, it was bound with or by numbers, shapes, colors, symbols, and sounds. When the world was created, it's bound by that. And each of them need a summon of their own. But numbers are a way of communicating with the spirit world and from the spirit world. Now, I hear people, you've heard this. So someone will say, the number 7 is the number of perfection. Number 5 is the number of grace. Number 4, you know, you understand. Okay, at that level, fine. But there are deeper things than that. 7 does not just mean perfection. It's for that reason why, if you look through scripture, the Bible says that Naaman is told to go and wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times. If he had done it 6, it would not have happened. Done it 8, it would not have happened. The number is not just perfection. It's a way of communicating. It is a way of communicating. Now, I wish you understand what I'm saying. There's a reason why when someone, they're not here, but when someone goes to a witch, the witch will tell you, bring 3 white birds. The number is not guessing. It's not, he's not trying to be poetic. Huh? 3 white birds and 2 ducks and, you know, the numbers are a way of communicating. Because spirits understand the importance of numbers. This world, remember one time when I told you that math is the most spiritual subject? Because the world is bound by it. And I know people who always come to me, I'm always 11, 11, 2, 2, 5, 5, 6, 6. There is a language of numbers. The Bible says that God tells Moses to speak to the rock, and he hits it twice. The issue is not just that he's hit it. The number also has a communication that annoyed God. I know what I'm talking about. 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe it's verse 43. Many people know the story. It says, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Now, when people interpret this story, they think that Elijah, when he was praying for rain to come, he was trying out consistently until the 7th time rain came. That's not what the KJV is saying. It's saying he turned to the servant and was specific. He said, go again 7 times. So he knew the number before the thing showed up. So the number is a way of communicating. My God, I could stay there for a while. Colors are also a form of communication. Just like last week when I told you that the further men went away from Adam, the age gap began to reduce, or their capacity to live long began to reduce. Because they're going away from someone who was in the garden, farther away. So men are dying sooner. In a similar way, the primary colors contain more power than the ones that I diluted. Red, yellow, blue. And right after that, the colors that are in the rainbow contain more power than the ones that have been mixed. Sijui, what are your colors, ladies? Sijui, beige. Eh? You know those ones, eh? And a person operating in the spirit knows it. Now these numbers, colors, shapes, symbols, sounds, they attach themselves to the elements. Remember the four elements? I've talked about them so much, I should actually teach about them just generally on their own. But it's water, earth, fire, and wind. So these particular five that I've mentioned attach themselves to the elements. When a person is communicating with the spirit world, words can be many. So in order to reduce the words, they use symbols. And so fire could be saying a whole sentence, because they've mastered the art of knowing which color links to which element. And when I want this reaction, what do I do? Now, this is not a mastery in that. You guys don't. Praise the Lord. Shapes. Scripture is specific. In Genesis, it says, and the earth was formless and desolate. There are versions that say that earth was formless and without shape. So the fact that from the spirit world, there could be a recognition that there was no shape to something implies that shape is important. Are you with me? And so, I believe, this is my opinion, you can leave it to take it, that that Tower of Babel was not just a good old tower. That katawa that you just built, and you just said, I believe it was a pyramid. And if so, then as important as it was to build the tower, the shape played a role in opening something. The shape is just as important, I'm telling you. But what I'm telling you is very, very true. Eh? Very, very, very important. I don't want to dwell on symbols and sound. So we go upwards. Like, okay, so I told you the language of spirits. So spirits come, and they will come, and when they enter, divine or demonic, when they enter the realm of men, because they've entered the realm of men, they need to communicate in the language of men. In Acts chapter 26, verse 14, this is Paul telling his story. He says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. So he's very clear that he has an experience. God shows up and is speaking in the Hebrew tongue. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 9 when it happened, the guys who were around him were just hearing. They were just hearing a sound. But he, caught in the thing, had the Hebrew tongue. So this spirit shows up, that is God, and speaks to him in a language he understands, because he's in the realm of men. Now, if you're caught up and you leave the realm of men and enter the spirit world, they don't speak the tongues of men. Your ears are opened to understand the language there. Praise the Lord. So, let me give you a bit of chemistry or physics. When a spirit comes, let's say an angel appears and speaks to you. A spirit can speak, and your spirit interprets it in a language you understand. That is why you'll find someone said, and the Lord came to me and said, Nayegwe. And you ask yourself, God, God of heaven and earth. Another one says, and he was like, yo, man, yo. It's not necessarily that God was speaking like that. A being appears, and the language that you understand is interpreted to you. Praise the Lord. Eh? So these spirits come, and they interact with men in that way. Then we go up, because I'm rushing, to the languages that are in God. Now this is very important. This is where I want to make it practical to you. There are what the Bible refers to. Paul says, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks mysteries unto God. That's what he says. Eh? And those kind of tongues are different from the tongues that you pray every day. Jude verse 20 talks about building yourself up in the Holy Ghost. There's a category of tongues, the most prevalent of which builds your faith and edifies you. So the moment you keep praying in tongues consistently, it builds your faith. Whether you feel or not, you pray in tongues consistently. That's a different section from if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks mysteries. And that's a different thing altogether. Please hear me. There are languages that open up realms and dimensions in the spirit, that unlock things. Languages, in order to learn, you need to ascend. They are different from, some people speak gibberish. There are people who are actually speaking gibberish, and we'll pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost and actually speak in tongues. Then there are tongues that you speak in that will edify. Then there are tongues that are a different section. A different section. And sometimes they hide themselves under normal speech. Now, let me give you examples in scripture. There's a time the Bible says in John chapter 11 that Lazarus has died. And the scripture says, and this is strange, the Bible says, and as Jesus went towards the grave, he began to groan. He began to groan. 38 to 41. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. So he's groaning as he's coming to the grave. I want you to understand how weird this is. You're standing around him. He's about to do something. And you think, someone is hungry, something like that, but he's groaning. Then it says, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Verse 41, for the sake of time. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heard me. When? That is different from braka, se, te, kere. It's different from that. He's groaning. He's groaning. And the next verse, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. Said what? He's going to say it. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43, he says it. And when thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So he's crying for the sake of the people. But he had already been heard. Already been heard. Scripture says, now let me take you a bit further, because groanings are different from, remember when I told you that the farther back you go, the more powerful a language, the natural. Jesus is standing before a deaf man. The Bible says he's deaf and mute, and he puts his fingers in his ears. It's weird, puts his fingers in his ears, and scripture says he spits on the ground. Tried to do that today. If I did it just here, there will be one person who walks away and says, the other guy spits. And you see, the strange thing about that story is that he puts his fingers in the air, then he spits on the ground, then he puts his finger in the guy's mouth. And then the Bible says, and he groaned and said, Ephphatha. And the scripture interprets it. He sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Now this is Aramaic. He's speaking, you see, the time that he's living in, people are predominantly speaking Greek and Hebrew. But he goes to an ancient language and says, open. Now he knows something that others not, and it happens continuously in scripture, because when he's before a girl that is dead, he says, Talitha Kumi, which is also Aramaic. Then when he's on the cross, he says, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, also Aramaic. Now there must be a reason as to why he keeps going back to an ancient language when he could have said it in Hebrew. I tell you, there are languages on earth here. Now some of you might go and learn. The way I know some of you people, yeah, it's second. I send you a message. What are you doing today? Rabbi, I'm learning Aramaic. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to make a point here. Okay? The Bible says of Elijah that when he was calling forth rain, he puts his head between his legs. My God. Between his legs. Now what is he doing? He's communicating. But it's not intelligible. It's not a language you would understand. Now before, I'm telling you, there are mystical languages in the spirit where a person, some of you know, there are people, when they've spoken tongues, it actually sounds like they're speaking a language. Meanwhile, yours sounds like you woke up yesterday. I remember one time I went for an overnight years ago, and I was shocked when there was a lady who was praying in tongues, and her tongue was one thing. One ta 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 ta. That night I never prayed. I kept on saying ta 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 until I realized, as many of you should know, the tongues are not translated, they're interpreted. Eh? And so ta could mean dog, and the next time ta means healing. The next time. You understand? So if you're going to approach it with the natural, you'll be messed up. Eh? Even like, this one's just forging. Ta! But there are things where a man taps into, and you see, I know this, the longer you go into prayer, especially when you're praying in tongues, there comes a time when your language changes. And I'm talking about, and that's not coincidental. It becomes almost intentional. And such things can open up dimensions in the spirit. That's why Paul said, there are things that I saw that on earth are not lawful to utter. Not because there's something stopping it, but on earth, there are certain languages men need to qualify, first of all, to speak, secondly, to hear. I had a dream in 2017. I told a few people that were around, and I'll never forget it. It wasn't even a dream. I call it a dream for the sake of the example. I found myself in a barren land. Barren. It wasn't heaven. I don't know what it was. And in that barren land, I was with a being that at that time introduced himself as Uriel. Now, I felt I had been there for months. And the entire time, he was teaching me in a language, and I knew he was teaching me in a language. I knew it. But when I came back, I know it, but I can't. I can't say it. I understand when Paul said, it's not lawful to utter. You can't say it. And you see, sometimes the dreams that you have where you are told something is not because you're forgotten. But you might not qualify for the language. Praise the Lord. Huh? So we transition. Now, why does God introduce that? Because tongues is a whole separate session all by itself. Because when God is communicating to man, he wants to bypass intellect. And a lot of things he wants to drop in your spirit. I am telling you, there are people, when they will speak a tongue, it will do something in a man. When another person who has come to lay hands, nothing happens. Remember when the sons of Sceva tried to cast out a demon? And they're using the same vocabulary as Paul. In the name of Paul who preaches, hey, come out. But you see, it's not the words. That's why I said, you can say something in a natural language, and there is a spirit language hidden right behind it. And you say something and it opens something in the spirit. There are things that are, this is so hard for me to explain. They're so mystical that you can communicate to a being in another realm and give instruction. Some people don't know that there are things that they've said that have called something. Then you're in the night going to sleep.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. I'll increase on this teaching some other time. I want to finish. Now, to transfer yourself into higher dimensions of language, learn the art of groaning. And not groaning, I know some of you will start, that's not that's not what I'm talking about. The spirit world will say, na ye, eh. You guys know that language evolves, okay? So there's always the actual language, then beneath it are roots that have developed. We call it slang. So I remember back those days, we had like, in school, high school, we had like 9 different ways of referring to a girl as a girl. Let me see if I can remember. There was babe, shore, Bele, there was Lep, which was short for leopard. There was Bad. There was, what are the others? Huh? Dem. You understand? All those are saying the same thing. But the slang has developed. I remember in Uganda, when you're calling someone rich, those days, I don't know what they do now. They say, Mazi Mawamvu. And you wonder where these things come from. Who starts it? But it starts from somewhere and it just pops up. Now, in the same way, there are codes in the spirit where one person is just saying something. Like, remember what I told you, that a language is linked to a culture, and the more fluent you are in one, the more aware you are of that culture. This is why I must encourage you to learn to pray in tongues as consistently as possible. And spiritually, as an action. Because as you pray as an action, there are points where you reach and you will reach silence. Some people, it's because of hunger and fast. But I'm talking about spiritual silence. Eh? And you stop somewhere and groanings coming. And you will understand that it is actually a language. It is a speaking. And it is very vital for some miracles, especially certain types of miracles. And a language is dropped into your spirit.